for this time.
Amen.
This time at Oak Glen.
Amen.
How we need you.
Amen.
We need your presence.
Amen.
We need your speaking.
Amen.
We need your anointing.
Amen.
We need your shining.
Amen.
Come in, Lord, in a prevailing way.
Amen.
We ask that you'd give these sixth graders a dynamic experience.
Amen.
And a definite experience of salvation.
Amen.
We consider this the greatest gift.
Amen.
That they could meet you.
Amen.
Personally.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, face to face.
Amen.
Bring them to you.
Amen.
We pray for this, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Saints, just to follow up a couple of points that we touched on in the last session that I'd like to strengthen. And that is the reason why we'd like to have this time with them at this age is also because we feel that they need a real definite experience, unforgettable, and unforgettable to us, unforgettable to them. Too many of our kids, you know, as Brother Sam was talking about before, their experience of salvation was very general. They can't identify when they believe. They can't pinpoint an exact event. And we feel like that is it doesn't mean they're any less saved. It just means that they didn't get that. And that is a gift. To have that experience is a great gift that we would like to give them. Another thing related to this is that in the church life, we have stressed life a lot and the way of life. And so often when we preach the gospel, we just had them call on the name of the Lord. And so the children began to call on the Lord with us from the time they were very little, but they did not have much feeling about their sinful condition. And so they were not able, we felt like they need judicial redemption. And they need a real experience of that. That's also an important aspect of this weekend conference, because we want them to feel sinful. We want them, even yesterday we were having some fellowship and prayer, we want them to feel exceedingly sinful so that they understand their need of a Savior. We feel this is fundamental and basic. It's not just a matter of regeneration. It's a matter of experiencing the Lord's redemption, his sacrificing himself, dying for them, and giving them his life for sure. Okay? Another matter, just to strengthen one of the questions, and that is, at this conference, because it is the first one that they will be attending, often, and they're really excited, so there's a lot of adrenaline and excitement, and usually Friday night we have a very hard time getting them to bed. And so over the last couple of years, we've made some pretty strong announcements that they have to obey their serving ones, the lights have to be out at a certain time. But we just urge the serving ones to really, because this, their first experience is going to determine what they're going to be doing through junior high and high school. And if we're wishy-washy with them about this, we could maybe set up a bad pattern for them. So we have to be strict. We have to be pretty strict, especially with lights out and going to sleep, okay? Just to, because... You know, I've told this story a few times. We had one locality, and this group of kids was with this young brother who was their serving one, and they were in the way early morning hours still fooling around. And, of course, in the cabins, you disturb everybody around you, even the rooms next to you. And so when it came time for the morning meeting, the serving brother could not get up. But the kids were up. I mean, they're like, you know, like this. And so the kids came to the meeting by themselves. And the serving one was still in his cabin sleeping. And we gave the call to get saved. They all stood up to get saved. But there was no serving one to be with them. This actually happened a few years ago. And so we said, where's that brother? Where's the serving one? He said, well, he's sleeping. Well, it's because the boys, you know, kept him up all night. So we have to be serious about this, and we have to be pretty strict. Well, we have only a short amount of time. We really would like to keep our time, and I'll do my best. But we have a second session. And this session is called Bringing the Young People into a Gospel Living. And, you know, I consider this a great opportunity, at least to, again, speak to the saints, the parents, and the serving ones, some of the things that the Lord has been showing us and opening up to us in the recent years. Through our research in the ministry and looking at our situation again and again, we were asking ourselves, what are we missing when it comes to our work with the junior high and the high school? It seems like year after year we're struggling, the same struggle. There's not much vitality or energy. It's just hard. And so when we began to read again what our brother spoke many times, it became very clear to us. In fact, it became crystal clear to us that he used this expression, seeds of the gospel. And that his idea was that our children and our junior high and our high schoolers and our college students, all of the second generation would be like this, would be seeds of the gospel. And so this caused us to open up to the Lord a lot, and we realized that, and this realization has been gradual and has been unfolding to us, that the nature and atmosphere of a lot of our work with the children and young people over many years has been mostly preventative, preservation, and on the defensive. We're trying to keep them in the church, trying to keep them out of the world, giving them a lot of exhortations about not to do this and not to do that, not to go there, not have those kind of friends. And it was not that inspiring. It was not energizing. It didn't engage them. It was mostly warnings and exhortations. And so, well, first of all, we realized that so many exhortations did not work. They still were getting into these things, and many of them were being lost to us. Well, this is what caused us to have so much reconsideration about our work. And so we have really come to a point where we realize that from the moment of their salvation, we have to change their footing from being a defensive stance to being offensive. And we have to help them to confess the Lord immediately after their salvation. So as we read through this outline, I will comment a little bit here. We don't have much more time than to read it, but I would, and I also would like you to, I'd like to encourage you that I do have in mind that we're talking about sixth graders, children. They're still children, 12 years old, 13-year-olds. We're not talking about college students preaching the gospel on a college campus. That is not our thought. But I think what you'll see through this fellowship and through this outline, that right away after they believe in the Lord, we need to begin to lead them into certain practices and certain things that will help them immensely in their Christian life. So, okay, so let's read this. It's called Bringing the Young People into a Gospel Living. Notice it's not gospel activities. We're not just bringing them into gospel activities. The emphasis, the accent should be on living. We want this to become customary. We want this to become the atmosphere of all our work, whether it's 5-year-olds, 15-year-olds, or 25-year-olds. It's all the same. Amen? Okay, so let's read Romans 1 together. If we would spend time to work on the children in the church, they will become young believers and new members of the church. Then we may sow them as gospel seeds in high schools so other junior high students may be saved. Look at this. He said we could sow them as gospel seeds into the junior high schools. You know, after we began to get into this word gospel seeds, we realized this, that a seed is a little container of life. That's what they are. They're nothing more than that. They have a shell, and in that shell is life. It's a container of life. It's not like a pebble. You know, you have a little pebble, little piece of gravel, and you could sow that into the ground and nothing is going to happen. But you take a seed and you put it in the ground, it'll grow and it will reproduce. But if you take that seed and you put it on a shelf for display, it will never grow. That's not what you do with seeds. And that's not what we're doing with our young people. We're not raising them up for any kind of display for our glory or for our benefit. But the Lord actually, in Matthew 13, it tells us that the Lord, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. This is what 13:37 tells us. And it says that the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. So we realize that the sower is sowing the sons of the kingdom. And where does he sow them? He sows them into schools all over the earth, all over Southern California. These seeds are now being scattered into schools everywhere. And now, why are they sent? Why are they scattered there? Seeds have the unique ability to multiply. That's what seeds do. They grow and they multiply. And when they get into their classrooms, these are some of the things we have to help them to do, is to look around to see who they could begin to pray for. We would like this when they go to junior high on the very first day of school to realize that the Lord has sown them to that school so that they could make some friends and they could contact these friends for the Lord. Eventually when they finish high school and they're sending out their applications for all different colleges, they're going to get some acceptances, they're going to get some rejections. They should have this prayer in them, and we hope to really infuse them with this thought that, where will the Lord sow me? Where is he going to send me? And they get that acceptance letter. They get two or three. Now they have two or three to choose from. Lord, where are you sowing me? And when you go to school and you're sitting in that lab or you're sitting in that classroom, you're looking around to see, who should I pray for? Which ones of these are sons of peace that you want to gain? This is the kind of culture that we have to generate, and an atmosphere that we have to build up in all the churches related to our work with the junior high and high school. Okay, A says, after a few more years, we may flow them into the high schools so that many high schoolers may be brought to the Lord. B, after they graduate from high school, we may sow these graduates into colleges and universities as seeds of the gospel so that we may capture many people from the colleges. Within each six-year term of labor on the young people, thousands of young people will be gained. These young people will be educated not only in the worldly knowledge, but also in the heavenly knowledge. Okay, so this is this kind of fellowship in our second session is general, and it has to do with our work after their salvation. Okay, so some of these things we've been speaking in our Serving Ones trainings, and so some of you may have heard these before, but I feel it's a privilege to speak it again and to speak it again and again until it becomes our culture. So let's read Romans 2 together. We should help the new believers and young people to be in the gospel immediately after their salvation. As soon as one believes in the Lord, he should confess the Lord before men. If he cannot speak when he's young, he probably will not be able to speak when he grows up. You know, Brother Nee has this message on a good confession, that right away after you believe in the Lord, you have to confess him. Now, notice we clearly understand that there's a difference between preaching the gospel and confessing the Lord. This says we should confess the Lord. This is the first step, and this is what all of our newly saved, baptized sixth graders should do, is confess the Lord. When they go back to school after the weekend or after their baptism, they have to let their friends know that they believed in the Lord and they're for the Lord. You have to say at least that much, I'm for the Lord. I got baptized. I'm for the Lord. And we put out a signboard. Brother Nee used that expression. Put out a signboard right away. It will save you a lot of trouble. And it'll prevent a lot of difficulty because you won't get invited to do certain things. You won't be included in certain things. And so the first thing we should help them, even at the conference, is that when you go back, you have to tell your friends. You have to tell them that you are for the Lord now, that you got saved, you believed, and you're for the Lord. I like that expression. I'm for the Lord, right? We should say that. And we're not asking them to give a gospel message, to ask people to respond to the gospel like that. And that's not what we mean when we say to be in the gospel immediately after their salvation. Mainly, especially for this age group, we just want them to put it out there. You know, recently I've been very burdened about this, that the young people would put it on their Facebook page. You know, everybody's got a Facebook page. But you go to their Facebook pages, a lot of our kids, and you can't even tell that they believed in the Lord. You can't even tell that they're believers. It's tragic that what they are broadcasting, what their signboard says, is everything but that. But what if, you know, sometimes I've been dreaming about this. If we could somehow infuse the kids to broadcast, put it out there, who they are, what they believe, what they're for, and post it. You know, I got inspired by this because I was reading a message when Brother Lee was talking about creating an atmosphere of the gospel. And he was testifying how in Taipei, when they first got there, they created an atmosphere. You know, we have to do this in Southern California. We have to create an atmosphere of the gospel. What they did is they printed out tracts, enough gospel tracts to go to every door, every household in Taipei. They didn't have a lot of money, but they put their money together. They printed out, I don't know how many tracts, and then they divided the city into districts, and they went out and they gave tracts to every resident, and if they couldn't contact the people, they put it in their mailbox. Okay, so that's the first thing. Then the second thing they did is they printed these big gospel posters, multicolor posters. You need Jesus. Jesus saves. You know, whatever. Gospel posters. And they posted them everywhere. They put them on the street corners, at the bus stops, at the train stations. So these people are walking around with this gospel tract in their hand, and then they see these posters everywhere, and they're thinking, what is going on? There's something happening here. And you know what the saints did? They posted it on the front door of their house. So you walk down the street or you go in the apartments, and there's that poster, and it's on their front door. So I thought, well, you know, what's the front door today? It's their Facebook page. You know, last weekend I was in Calgary. We had a young people's conference 2 weekends ago, young people's conference. And they have a question and response time in the afternoon on Saturday where they can ask the brothers these anonymous questions, you know, about anything. And so we get these stack of questions. And, you know, we try to go through them and say something. One of the questions, you can't believe this, one of the questions was, it was to Brother Tom. And there was like three of us that were here. So it was personal to me. And the question was this: what is the Lord to you? What does the Lord mean to you? Then the second line, tell me about your beloved. I never got a question like that. I never got a question like that. That was quite interesting. So I answered them. I tried my best to answer, and I think it was a good answer. I mean, it was just what the Lord was to me. Well, then the next meeting, I challenged them. I said, you know what? Somebody gave me this question yesterday, but you need to post this question on your Facebook page, and you need to put your answer there. What does the Lord mean to you? Tell me about your beloved. Put that out there. Why are we hiding? You know, what are we for? And, you know, I was there a week late. I was there for 2 weekends is what happened. And the second weekend, I was there for a parents' conference the second weekend. A group of these young people came up to me after the Lord's Day morning meeting, and they wanted to let me know that they changed their Facebook page, and they posted this on their page. So I joined Facebook this week. Well, for two reasons. Number one, I wanted to read their Facebook page, but I can't find them. I didn't know their names. So. But the second reason was because I wanted to put out a signboard. You know. But anyway, we need to create an atmosphere. And they're at the very beginning of their Christian life, and we understand who they are. We understand their age. But this is where we're going, and this is what we'd like them to enter into. Okay? So we have to help them immediately. If we don't help them immediately, then maybe they'll be dumb for their whole life. Some of us are like this. We were not helped to be in the gospel right away from the beginning of our Christian life, and now we're terrified of the gospel. You know, I think a lot of our young people over the last years are like this because we didn't help them. We didn't help them to be in the gospel or to confess the Lord right away. So some are struggling with this. Point B, if we do not confess with our mouth, if we are a Christian secretly, we will experience much more difficulty than those who are Christians openly. Our temptation will be many times greater than the temptation of those who openly confess the Lord. As parents, you don't want your kids to have any more difficulty, and you certainly don't want them to have more temptation. So we put out the signboard, put it out there. I'm for the Lord. I'm for the Lord. See, another serious problem for those who do not confess the Lord before men is that they will surely offend their conscience if they pretend and sympathize with the Lord's opposers. Pretend to be like the rest of everybody. You try to fit in, you're going to have problems. You're going to have conflict within. You know, always feel hypocritical and so forth. Okay, let's go on to Romans 3. Every believer is a branch of the, which is the Lord himself. The unique responsibility of a branch is to bear fruit. Okay, every believer is a branch. Every believer should regard gospel preaching as a responsibility of his daily life. The branches of the vine are for bearing fruit. Fruit bearing is their sole responsibility. Gospel preaching is neither a profession nor an outward behavior, but is related to the life within us. It is an ability of the divine life. The life within us is not merely a holy life, a loving life, and a meek life. It is also a gospel preaching life. Now, this next point is really quite touching and quite special. The power of fruit bearing is with the new branches. Every new believer is a new branch in the Lord as the vine. If you're going to give a training to the saints on power impact in the gospel, I'm sure what you would say is we need to pray. And we need to fast, maybe. Fast and pray. But look what Brother Lee says about the impact of the gospel. A new believer's power for preaching the gospel lies in their being new believers. Hence, for a church to preach the gospel and save more people, New believers must be encouraged to preach the gospel. We still think that in order to have power when preaching the gospel, we need maturity in life, sufficient prayer, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This concept causes new believers, young people, to shrink back from preaching the gospel. Gospel preaching fully depends on the fact that we are believers. This is our power. What he was saying is this. He would, I mentioned this before, this is in a book, from a book called Lessons for New Believers. Chapter 20 is on preaching the gospel. And he points out that the power and impact of the gospel lies in the fact that they're new believers. It's not in their prayer. It's certainly not in their power. It's not in this or that. It's in the fact that they're new. That's the impact. Sometimes these families would invite Brother Lee to come to their house. The wife is a believer in the church, and the husband was maybe an unbeliever and had been resisting the gospel for many years. And they thought, well, if we invite Brother Lee to come preach the gospel, surely my husband will believe. So they would invite Brother Lee for dinner with the hope that he would preach the gospel to her husband. And he said, I was always afraid of those kinds of situations. But he said, I learned the secret. What I did is I would bring a brand new believer with me. Because when I brought a new believer with me, that one had a way. Because the impact is with the new believers. I think we missed something, saints, when we didn't help our newest ones in this way. Because they have, when they're fresh, right after the conference, they are so fresh, they're so happy. It's at that point that they would have the most impact. So, you know, certainly we have to be wise in how we do this so that we don't overburden them. But at the same time, we have to help them. Romans 4. We Christians need to realize that preaching the gospel must not be a move or an activity. It must be a part, an aspect, an element of our Christian living. You know, when we were fellowshipping with the co-workers last year about having a perfecting conference for our junior hires, which we did last Labor Day, we were very burdened to target those recently baptized sixth graders before they go to junior high to have a perfecting conference for them to put them on this kind of footing, you know. And so we were having some fellowship among the brothers, and a few of the brothers had some comments that were very, very helpful. One of the brothers, he commented that he would hope that we would not just lead them into some outward activities. And in other words, just take them out to the park and pass out tracts, which is fine to do. But we should not think that that is all. What they are dealing with is that they go into the junior high schools. There is a tremendous power there, a tide, a current, an atmosphere, an influence. And it's powerful. And hardly anybody can withstand that. And those kids, when they go to those schools, they have a certain life over here in junior high where they have their friends and they have school friends. And then they come to the meetings and they're over here and they have their church friends. And oftentimes they try to manage these two realms and keep them a safe distance apart from each other. And so when we, you know, as the serving ones, well-meaning, we take them out to pass out tracts, that's wonderful because it really doesn't disturb this world at all. They can still keep this intact and it doesn't invade it or affect it. What we want to do is we want to get into this realm. We want to go there with them. So this is why we have always emphasized this one point. Let's make a list of some of the names of your friends for whom you are concerned. Because we know this, they're concerned for their unbelieving friends. They are. We just know this. They have some names that they would like to pray with for their salvation. So this is the first thing. And this is why it's not just an activity. We're trying to begin the gear, the organic gear, to turn inside of them by praying for some of their friends with them. For parents to do this would be awesome. And for serving ones to do this and to use this as a way of shepherding is tremendous. Then what happens, as they're trying to manage these two realms, now we start praying for some of their friends with them. It's like we have joined them in this world. And so then we will have maybe a gospel in-reaping meeting from time to time. I would like to bring them and invite them, and then these two worlds can begin to merge, not collide, hopefully, but at least this is what we want to get into this realm with them. That's why it's not just an activity, because they can do all these activities and it still not interrupt that part of their life. That's their synagogue. In John, those people would not confess the Lord because they were afraid of getting thrown out of the synagogue. We asked, what's the junior higher synagogue? Well, it's that group of friends. And they're afraid, if I confess the Lord, I'm going to get kicked out of the synagogue. So, we'd like them to get kicked out of the synagogue. Not, certainly completely kicked out, but at least put a signboard up, All right, so, okay, A, after we are saved, the Lord leaves us on the earth mainly for the purpose of being his witnesses. The word witnesses in Greek is martyr. See, this is gospel seeds. He leaves us on the earth. He scatters us for the purpose of multiplying. It is not related merely to preaching, but to testifying, not only by word, but by our life and living, and even the sacrifice of our life. To be a witness means you have to testify. And every time you testify, something dies. Your soul life dies. Your face. There's always a martyrdom when you begin to witness for the Lord. We may think that to preach is merely a kind of work, move, activity, or movement. Rather, the real preaching and outreach of the gospel must be a part of our daily life, our Christian living. Learn to fellowship with the Lord and to live in, by, and with the Lord. Learn to walk in the presence of the Lord. Then in this way, if we have the desire to cooperate with the Lord, he will pave the way for us to contact our neighbors, schoolmates, classmates, and relatives. We are here for the preaching of the gospel, so we must have a living for the gospel. There is even a greater need for a testimony in our daily walk, a testimony in the way we live. We must have a practical, real testimony in our daily life. Our junior high conferences follow, right away. We'll have the fall conference and in the spring. We have four conferences in our junior high cycle right now. We used four for about 12 or 14 years, a different four. We're right now writing four new ones. We changed, based on this kind of burden, we've changed everything. And the new cycle is this. The first one is on gospel living, something about being gospel seeds for a gospel living. And it's to open up this matter of having an impact. The light of the world, the salt of the earth, branches of the vine, and seeds of the gospel. Something like this. The second conference is on loving the Lord, enjoying the Lord, as branches of the vine. So the first one puts out the need for them to be on the offensive. The second one touches the matter of they need to love the Lord themselves and enjoy the Lord themselves to do this, to be this. And this was another one of the words the co-workers gave to us, a brother gave to us, that was very helpful, that we have to help them to enjoy the Lord and to love the Lord. So we're very also very burdened about this, that we would bring them personally into contact with the Lord through praying, confessing, calling, prayer reading, things like that. The third one is on their living, proper humanity. We use this kind of expression, proper humanity, because this is what Brother Lee used. But we realize there's a tremendous need for the young people to be inspired, to be the top people, the best ones in their schools, the highest living, highest, the best students, the most respect, proper kind of testimony before men. And then the last one is on entering into the church life, getting into your own church life where you can be with the saints, even from the time you're, and we're going to touch this in the conference next weekend. They right away after they're baptized, we should try to help them to get blended with the saints in the church life, in the home meetings as much as possible. Okay, so we come to Romans 5. Let's read 5 together. Gospel is not preached by our conduct, but by our words. The more we preach, the better our conduct will be. And the more we speak, the more proper our living will become. Brother Lee said this, that don't think or don't have the thought that you have to improve yourself before you can preach the gospel. He said, the best thing is preach the gospel and you will change. Your preaching the gospel will change you. And I like that. Today we should realize that the young ones have a great potential. We have to encourage the young ones to rise up to preach the gospel. The more they beget, the better it is. In order to preach the gospel, we need to be equipped. Just as it is difficult to work without tools, we need gospel tools in order to preach the gospel. So we need to help equip them with some gospel verses, gospel hymns, gospel tracts, and even gospel in reaping meetings. Our living should be to preach the gospel and bear fruit for the Lord. In this way, we will gain the full enjoyment of the Lord and cause his body to increase. And then finally, we come to this last point, which was also a very helpful word to us, that we will not take the way of incitement, stirring up a movement, or just trying to stir them up for a gospel campaign. We really have to take an organic way. Let's read Romans 6 together. At the very beginning of the Lord's recovery, we have had much experience in this regard and have seen that whatever comes out of incitement does not have the value of life. Currently, the move of the work in many places depends too much on incitement, especially the work of the high school and junior high students. It seems that locality after locality has not paid attention to the testimony of the genuine work of life. Consequently, we need to spend some time to pray before the Lord, not only for an open door in all the colleges and high schools, but also for some among us to be raised up to bear the burden in life. We do not want any incitement, but a genuine burden of life. You know, Brother Lee was talking about that as we begin to bring the young people into this kind of atmosphere, we don't want to do it in the way of just stirring up excitement. You know, after it's quite easy, you know, to stir up teenagers emotionally and to stir them into some kind of activity. But we don't want to do it that way. In fact, he tells us not to do it that way. And he specifically mentions the junior high and the high school work. In one place, when he spoke on this, he said that the work in the junior high and high school work in many places is just this kind of work. It's just always stirring them up. He said we have to do a genuine work of life with a genuine burden of life. And so that's a word to all of us as we are leading them in this kind of gospel living. That's why we called it a gospel living, because we cannot take just a way of stirring them up. We have to lead them into some organic activities. And so this is why we want them to make a list of names and to begin to pray over these names. And then we believe the Lord will come in to answer their prayers and their friends will begin to get saved. Peter was here earlier. Just so you know, we're also very burdened that we could do a work of the gospel on the junior high and high school campuses, even apart from the church kids. Before I mentioned to you, our work has been so much related to them and burdened for them and focused on them. But when Brother Lee was talking about this, he was talking about gaining the teenagers everywhere. And, you think about us, saints. In our churches, in our families, we have our list of names, and we pray over these lists of names, and, we have so many, and Anaheim has so many. And recently, we got some statistics. There's about 170 young people in the church in Anaheim, junior high, high school age. About 170. That's a big church just by itself. And, all the trainees are praying, the serving ones are praying, the parents are praying. So many prayers are directed at these 170. And Peter did this research. He found out that just on, not counting East Anaheim, there's 30,000 junior high and high school students in Anaheim going to school here. So I'm thinking, okay, so all of these prayers, all this attention for these 170, is anybody praying for the other 29,830? I mean, does anybody care? And so this verse, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. And maybe this is not the place to talk about this, but just so you know that we are burdened to create an atmosphere. And, if the kids, we're going to Luera High School to preach the gospel. The full-timers are doing that here, to Savannah High School, to Magnolia High School, and to, Anaheim High School. There's four of them that we're targeting right now, and we're just learning. We're trying to collect experience. But you know what? By our going there with the trainees or with even some full-timers, this will be the greatest encouragement to any of the kids that are going to school there and would be a great salvation to them. When they see us out there contacting their friends, this should be a great, great thing to them. We hope that in all the churches in Southern California, eventually our attention will be turned from just trying to care for them, and we're just so focused on them, caring, shepherding, loving, which we've got to do, and preventing them, preserving them, which we've got to do. Don't misunderstand me, but we got to change. We got to change our view, change our attitude, and because it keeps them small, it keeps them, out of function, and so we'd like to open them up and bring them into function. Okay, so B, I did read B. C, only the kind of work that comes out of genuine prayer, genuine burden, and paying a great price is of life, has the issue of life, and is eternal. This is the way to lead the church, and this is also the way to carry out the work with the junior high and high school students. All of these are ministry quotes. I hope you understand this. We don't compose any of this. We're not that good. That the brothers and sisters will receive a burden related to the students, this applies also to the children in the children's meeting. We need to come together to pray specifically for the students' work, that the Lord would open the door for us to be, and raised up and opened the door for us and raised up burdened ones to carry out this work. This is a desperate need. Well, saints, just so you know that this is where we're going. And we're hoping and expecting that over the coming years, we will be able to turn the tide of the atmosphere and the spirit of our work from being merely a defensive preservation work to being an advancing, offensive, propagating, multiplying kind of work. This was our brother's view from the very beginning. We just never had the concept. And so we feel like we need a change. So we're trying. We're going to have another gospel perfecting conference this year in September, right around the beginning of the school year, especially for those who were recently baptized, so that they could have a good start in their junior high years. And we hope to make progress. We expect it. We expect the Lord's blessing on this. The last thing is the last page is, and this is, you could take this back to your localities. The website on here is incorrect. I just noticed that. We changed our website address. I think you can still get there from here, but the correct address is www.scyoungpeople.org. SC Young People. Now, there was some question about what to bring. If you go to that website, there's a link, conference registration. You go to conference registration link, there is a PDF that says what to bring. You can print that out, pass it out to all the sixth graders in your locality. Yeah. That's the email address. That's the email address. Yeah, yeah. But the website is scyoungpeople.org. And go to conference registration link, and then there's what to bring. Also, one of the links is morning revival. And you'll see we have a whole bunch of things. We have 25 weeks on young believers. And so parents can take this. There's a little portion every day, 5 minutes or something, you can take with your child. I would encourage you to encourage the families, the churches, to use this material that we've put together for you. Okay? Any questions? Ray, we're done. We can be dismissed.